Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and this is the D-Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along for another podcast. Theatre is our focus this time around, and one particular theatre, the Grand in Wolverhampton. Well, my guest this week, Remy Lloyd, has been doing some great work to include people living with dementia in all the theatre's activities. It earned her an Alzheimer's Society Dementia Hero Award, and she has no intention of stopping there. Well, Remy, it's a pleasure to welcome you as our guest to the D Word. I've got plenty to talk about, but first of all, tell us a little bit about your title. I mean, you're head of outreach at Wolverhampton Grand Theatre. What does all that involve?
Well, it's basically we have an outreach team that looks after all of the community work, making sure that the theatre is inclusive and accessible to everyone. So we sort of have two branches to the outreach team. We have myself, who looks after the accessible side of things, so making sure that people with disabilities or that might find barriers to access in the theatre can attend and can participate. And then we also have the creative learning branch, which my colleague James leads on. So working with schools and young people and like sort of creating the next generation of theatre goers. So I now oversee the whole department, but we've got a really good team that are really dedicated just to making sure that people in the community are coming to the theatre, but also going out into the community to the people that can't attend the theatre.
And that's a really interesting job. I mean, before we start talking about kind of our angle, which is dementia, is that something that's kind of normal in theatres, or are you sort of fairly unique in what you do?
I think it's quite common in larger theatres. I think a lot of theatres sort of get like Arts Council funding, and then it's quite common in those theatres. But we are quite unique in the fact that we aren't funded. We're a commercial venue, but we're also a registered charity, so it's a little bit complicated. So we don't actually have any we don't have to do the charitable, community side of things. We do it because we know it's important and that the Grand is sort of at the heart of the community in Wolverhampton. So we do it to achieve our charitable aims, but also because it's very important to us that we do that. It's very much in the ethos at the Wolverhampton Grand.
Yeah, which is great indeed. I know you're a dementia friend. A lot of the staff there are as well. I mean, what kind of sparked your interest in dementia as a subject?
Don't know. This is a really interesting question when people ask me this. I'm not sure. I worked, when I was younger, worked at Homebase, and their charity of the year was the Alzheimer's Society. So maybe it came from that. I honestly don't know. I have no personal experience until the last year or so of dementia. My great aunt now has Alzheimer's, but I've sort of been invested in making things better for people with dementia before then. I think I'm very aware of other people and other people's experiences, and I'm very keen to make sure that everyone is happy and having a nice time. So I think it's just come from that, really, just that passion to make things inclusive. But the idea for the memory cafe didn't actually come from me. It came from my boss, and she just sort of said, go with it. But I'd already got a little bit of experience at that point, which helped massively. So I haven't really answered your question, but I genuinely don't know. I think it's just part of my personality, to be totally honest.
Sure, you know, I think you've answered it well. Looking back a bit, obviously, you know, your sort of current involvement, it all started with the Wolverhampton Dementia Action Alliance, didn't it, in terms of what was happening at the Grand?
Yeah, so 2017, it was actually the lady that worked in this role before me that got things started with them and my current boss. We joined the Wolverhampton Dementia Action Alliance, which are a very good DAA, and they're award-winning. So we joined there and we quickly trained all of our staff with the Dementia Friends information sessions. So it definitely started there. That sparked the sort of planted the seed at the theatre. And then, yeah, it's just grown year after year. We develop it, we do something else. We had in the second year of being with the DAA, we had the largest Dementia Friends session, I think, in Wolverhampton, or it was at the time anyway. And we had the auditorium full of people all learning about dementia. So that was an incredible achievement. And that was before my time, as I say. But yeah, it started there.
And it's gone on with you. I mean, tell us a little bit about your memory cafe. There are memory cafes, great throughout the country. But, you know, yours has got a fairly unique theme about it, hasn't it, with the entertainment?
Yeah, it does. So we, as I say, my boss had the idea for it. She wanted for us to do something in the Encore Lounge, which is one of our function rooms for people affected by dementia. So myself and a couple of colleagues, we went round to see what was available in Wolverhampton at the moment and surrounding areas to see and to sort of try and find a little bit of a gap. There was a lot of sessions where people could go and have a chat, and it was support and information sessions. But from the research that I did, music just seemed like the obvious choice. So yeah, there was a couple of us involved in that decision. And as I say, it was my boss's idea. I don't want to take any of the credit. It was her genius. But yeah, so we decided to use two of our panto performers, Ian Adams and Julie Payton, who have got this huge repertoire of music hall, musical theatre, wartime classics. They've just got this really broad spectrum of music. So we launched that back in April 2019, but there was quite a big lead up time to that where I spoke to people, found out what they wanted. And I think that's what sort of made it unique, because it's an opportunity for people that have stopped attending the theatre because they've got a dementia diagnosis to slowly integrate them back in and to get comfortable with the surroundings again and get to know the staff, get to know the building, and then they do quite quickly figure out, actually, we could still come to the theatre, and then they start attending the shows in the auditorium, which is amazing.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This is the D Word podcast, where my guest this week is Remy Lloyd from the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton. I think, you know, in terms of your outreach and inclusion, one of the really important things is that, you know, we tend to think about disability as something that we can see visibly. Whereas, you know, when we talk about dementia, I mean, all disabilities are not visible, are they?
No, exactly. And that's something that, again, there's always been very much in the ethos at the Grand that not all disabilities are visible. We have that on our website for people to bear that in mind. And I think that's why it's so important to do information sessions like the Alzheimer's Society Dementia Friends, because it increases people's awareness. And if someone is acting in a way that at some point in your life you might have thought was strange or unusual, you actually changes your mindset and you think, actually, shall I reach out and see if they need help, or they might just need a little bit of support or guidance. And it's made a huge amount of difference to the team and to the theatre in general.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the memory cafes, it's obviously, you know, something you still need money, unfortunately, in this world to do everything. And I mean, how do you get on for things like that? We're running the cafes.
We're really lucky. We've been sponsored by some local businesses that are very passionate about dementia provision. So we have FBC Manby Bowdler, who are solicitors locally. They're down the road from us. They were our headline sponsors for a long time, but we also have the Friends of the Grand who support us every year. We have the Steve Ball Foundation who support us, and we also have Paycare, again, who are down the road and are incredibly supportive, and they've sponsored us from really early on too. So we're really lucky with that. And then we also get a lot of customer donations. We run a raffle at every cafe and all the money goes back into the cafe. But we're always looking to expand and improve. And obviously with that, we do need more sponsorship. Particularly to keep increasing the amount, because the demand is there. And we have 3 cafes a month at the moment. But we could do one a week and it would be full. So we'd love to continue to improve and expand and to reach other people too. We have, in March last year, we added a cafe catered to the Black African Caribbean communities. And we have music tailored for them. So it's soul, gospel, reggae, but we'd love to keep expanding that and to keep reaching different communities, to make sure, because everyone can be affected by dementia. It doesn't matter where you're from or your music taste. So it's, yeah, something that we're definitely always on the lookout for, sponsorship and funding.
Yeah, you know, you and everybody else, unfortunately, but yeah, I certainly wish you all the best with that. And, you know, as well as people living with dementia, right, it's really important for carers as well to get out and something different. And it's sometimes not always the case that you get something that carers and people living with dementia can enjoy together as they can with your entertainment and memory cafe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we've found with ours is, obviously when we created it, we very much thought it was for the person living with dementia. But I think, like, reflecting back, actually, it's probably more beneficial for the carers and the loved ones, because they can just sit down with them and enjoy it. They don't have to be, you know, switched on. They can just enjoy music. And quite a lot of the time, people that sort of don't communicate a lot of the time, when the music kicks in, they start singing, they want to dance with them. And it creates like this really safe, supportive environment to make these special memories. But also a support network. You know, they've all got group chats and they all recommend other groups they go to. They come to our panto together in a big group every year. And it's brilliant, because they're all at different stages in their dementia journey, and they can sort of mentor each other through that in the safety of our on-call lounge, which I think is really special.
Yeah, I think those safe spaces are very, very important. One thing I was going to ask you, what's the reaction been? And then I saw your video on YouTube, and I thought, well, that answers it for me, really. I urge listeners to go and have a look at that, because the reaction is terrific.
Yeah, it is brilliant. And it's different every month. I think that's the thing. You get different people. Some people come every time. Some people come in and out, and some people come once and really enjoy it and then don't come back. But I think the takeaway every time is just that this has been really special and moving. A lot of people go away quite emotional, but in a positive way. And I think I heard someone told me once that people living with dementia might not always remember who you are, but they will always remember how you make them feel. And I think what we do in that space is make people feel really happy. And it reminds them of, especially if they were theatre goers before, it reminds them of, you know, their younger days together making those special memories.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that is very, very important. I mean, moving it through your memory cafes, etc. I mean, you're fairly unique in doing what you're doing. Have you had people looking, saying, hey, we'd like to do that as well?
We've had a few people locally that have sort of asked if we'd consider branching out and doing it in different, like, venues, which... We've supported a church in Darlaston. They wanted to start one up. We'd love to be able to pick up what we do and do it elsewhere. And that's something we'd like to do in the future. But we are currently supporting a group in Darlaston called Forget Me Not Group. So they meet every Monday and we provide the entertainment for them. So we send a singer there. So the funding comes from us for that. And then they obviously have the space and refreshments there. But in terms of other places, not too much. We get people ask, you know, how we go about it and sort of the work that went into to getting it right in the first place. But no one's tried to steal it as of yet.
Yeah, you know, that's a question. We've got a lot of international listeners throughout the world, and it does strike me these kind of ideas are kind of a commonality across the globe. You know, everybody could do this, and everybody living with dementia, you know, would find this really great, something to go to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that in the pandemic we noticed, because we filmed some virtual memory cafes and we sent the videos out to care homes, residential homes, but also to the people that attend. And we actually provided a bit of tech support over the phone for people that weren't sure how to get YouTube on their tellies. So we had that, and that was really great. But we advertised that on social media, and we actually had a response from a care home in Phoenix in Arizona. And they asked, can we have the video? Can you come and visit us? And we were like, well, if you pay for the flights, we'll come to you. But in the meantime, here's the video. So they actually now have that incorporated in their dementia provision, which is amazing. So yeah, it's definitely something that globally people can appreciate.
Yeah, I think I can feel Grand Theatre International coming on, you know. to do that. I mean, I'd also, am I right in saying that you have actually taken it on the road, but a little more locally, in terms of taking entertainment out to care homes?
We have, yeah. We've done that from the beginning. So when we started the Memory Cafe, we had a sort of sister project called Viva Variety. And the idea was the performer would finish their set at the Grand and literally get in the car, take all their equipment and then perform at a care home. There was a very small cost involved in that for the care home, but it was minimal compared to what they might have to pay for a singer. So we did that for 6 months, and that was very popular. And then in the pandemic, we were really lucky to secure some money from the Cultural Recovery Fund. And we initially planned a one-week tour to care and residential homes. We popped it on social media thinking we might get one or two people interested, but we had thousands of responses. So we had to actually sort of apply for a larger grant to cater for it. So we ended up going to 77 venues over 7 weeks. And it was just myself and a local singer, Miss Beth Bell, who is a vintage performer. In the car, we had to go all over the West Midlands. I think we went as far afield as the border of Wales at one point. We did go quite far. And she performed in corridors. She performed behind plastic screens. She was an absolute trooper, because of obviously the variation in social distancing requests from care homes at the time. But they were the most isolated, and we were really keen to get something to them. So we did that. And then on the back of that, since the pandemic, we have had sponsorship from a local company who are water safety specialists. They're called NANT, and they have provided the funds for us to visit 40 venues over a 12-month period. And we've done that last year and this year. So, and they're really great and supportive, and they allow us to choose what homes we go to, so we can target homes that we know can't afford that sort of provision usually. But it's free 1 hour of entertainment. We vary the singer, so it's either Beth or Sophie Clayton, who does sort of more of a Motown, soul, reggae set, so we can cater it to what the care home would like. But yeah, so we're hoping to continue that and expand that hopefully in the future.
Yeah, again, you know, I think of it on another idea, but, you know, I'm surprised that other people haven't taken up. I mean, in terms of, you know, the arts, you do a great job at the theatre. Do you think it's still kind of undervalued in terms of the use for social care, I guess it is really, in terms of people living with dementia, et cetera, how important things like theatre and music, et cetera, are?
Yeah, I do. I think that there are a lot of people that do appreciate it. We work really closely with the Alzheimer's Society, their dementia navigators, and people like Admiral Nurses. I think they absolutely appreciate the value of it. And I think I've definitely noticed this side of the pandemic that the word social prescribing is becoming a lot more, a term more commonly used. I do think you're right. I think people don't understand how much music can impact. And it's not until you see it for yourself or that you're personally impacted, that you realise that someone that doesn't talk usually will come into a room and start singing along, because music just lights up different parts in the brain that you can't light up with anything else. So yeah, I think more work definitely needs to go into to looking into that and to improving that provision. Yeah, definitely.
And also, I mean, dementia-friendly performances, something that, I mean, just takes through. A lot of people might think, dementia-friendly performance, but kind of, you know, in your experience, what kind of form does that take for someone?
I think it varies depending on what venue you go to, because I think they're getting more and more common in theatres that we sort of work closely with. And what's really nice is I think that venues actually do cater it to their audience and what they think their audience need. We had our first one in July and it was a Tony Christie concert. So we just worked with the team and Tony to sort of say what we thought would be appropriate amends. So we lowered the volume quite significantly. So I think that can be something that people struggle with. We relaxed the rules in the auditorium so people knew that they could come in and out as they needed to. If they needed to move and sit on an aisle, there was that option. They could react how they wanted to react. If they wanted to sing along at the top of their lungs, if they wanted to stand up and clap, that was all absolutely fine. We also, front of house, had a reminiscence room so people could come out and take some time in a quiet space. There was old theatre memorabilia programmes, things like that, little pocket peepers that they could look at. There was more staff on hand. We doubled our signage. So we had dementia-friendly signage put up absolutely everywhere. But I do think sometimes it can just be people knowing that that is going to be a dementia-friendly environment would encourage them to go, because I think ultimately it's knowing that you can come out if you need to. People aren't going to be judging you or you know, you're not going to be disturbing anyone because everyone's in a similar situation.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
My guest on this week's podcast is Remy Lloyd from the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton. Looking at the Grand website, I mean, there still is, unfortunately, stigma around the dementia word, hence the title of this programme, I guess, the D word. But I like this real concept of relaxed performances because, you know, I guess there are similarities with other conditions, autism, etc. And I like this whole concept of relaxed performances.
Yeah, and it is similar to a dementia-friendly performance. There aren't many variations. The relaxed performance is the same. It's people can come in and out, react how they want. We tell people anyone's welcome, but you've got to appreciate that there'll be more movement and noise. But with a relaxed performance, we adapt the show quite significantly. So we remove loud bangs, pyrotechnics. The lighting is drastically changed. Obviously, we didn't have to do that for Tony Christie because it was a concert. Going forward, if we had sort of a larger scale musical, we might have to relook at, you know, whether that is similar to a relaxed performance. But it's so important because a lot of people wouldn't attend the theatre otherwise if you didn't have these things programmed. So we are on a mission at the Grand, and I'm on a personal mission to make sure that, you know, producers and touring shows are thinking about these things. And if they can't incorporate it into the show, generally to be more open to having a relaxed or chilled or dementia friendly performance.
Yeah, I guess it was particularly poignant with Tony, who himself has had a diagnosis. So, you know, I guess his input was really important as well, because, you know, he was someone who's on that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was really supportive. And he was really open to our suggestions too. And the whole team were fantastic. They did sort of just let us roll with it. And we just said, step in, you know, if you've got any amends too. But they were great. And the whole way through, they just said, let us know if any time during the performance it's still too loud or you want anything changing. They were fantastic, really, really good. And they let us promote our memory cafe as well at the end of the show. They let us do an announcement. So if anyone was there that hadn't already benefited from that service, they knew to get in touch, which was a really lovely, lovely thing for them to do as well.
And yeah, it's pretty clear, me chatting to you, how much work and thought you've put into this. And it was great to, you know, I know you don't do it for awards, but it was brilliant to get a Dementia Hero Award from the Alzheimer's Society as kind of recognition of everything that you've put in.
Yeah, I can't tell you how chuffed I was. It makes me really emotional talking about it. When I was nominated by Alison and Frank Littleford, who come to our memory cafe. They've been coming for a long time. Frank had a diagnosis of Alzheimer's in 2020. And when they told me they'd nominated me, I was like over the moon at that. And then to be shortlisted and to be made a finalist again, absolutely over the moon. But yeah, to get there and to win, it was an absolute privilege. But to be honest, I feel like it should have been the other way around. I should have been nominating them for the award, because they're an absolutely inspirational couple that are just so determined to remove stigma from dementia, to raise awareness, to encourage people to get early diagnosis. Frank is so open and honest with the way he talks about his condition and how it affects him. They are inspirational. So I am so grateful. And it was definitely a team effort as well. You know, the award shouldn't just have my name on it. You know, it's very much the theatre's award too, and the team, because there's a massive team that put so much hard work in and deliver it when I'm not there and do all of the hard work as well. But yeah, it was lovely. I'm really, really pleased. It sits with in pride of place on my desk at work.
Yeah, that's where it should do, of course. And not only great for you, the team and the theatre, but I think a real emphasis on how important that the work that you're doing is. And if people look from the outside, they may just see, you know, a theatre, they may just think, oh, well, that's where we go for entertainment, but they don't realise all this stuff that's going on to try and include every member of the community.
Yeah, I think people always are quite shocked at the work that we do, the community work. And I think this has definitely raised the profile of all of that, not just the dementia work that we do, but everything. And it is very important, because we're only a small team that put the work in, but we are really passionate. And as I said before, it's very much in the ethos at the Grand to be at the heart of the community. I think what was really nice with the award nomination as well is that Alison and Frank mentioned the work that the theatre had done with the for the Black African and Caribbean community. We have an ambassador scheme, so it was very much in consultation with them to adapt our memory cafe to make sure that it was suitable for people living with dementia from those communities. But it also raised the profile on that work, and that, you know, it's, you've got to think about these things. You've got to think, you know, where have these people come from, and where will what do they need to be nostalgic, and to what do they need to promote really lovely, positive memories? So that's a really nice thing that came from that. And that definitely made that cafe more popular, which was fantastic.
Yeah, that is very important. And in terms of, you know, there are so many cultural differences in the way that people look at dementia. There are certain cultures that don't have a word for dementia, quite simply. And it's, you know, I think that's an area that generally needs expanding.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I know that we, as I said earlier, we're definitely looking to improve that. And we also have a South Asian ambassador scheme, a group of people from various backgrounds. And we're really keen to get something in the works for people living with dementia in the South Asian communities, because we know that can be quite stigmatized. But ultimately, they need that provision. And obviously, there's oftentimes a language barrier with that. So that's something we'll have to work really closely with them on. But that's what we're really keen to do, is just make sure we're talking to the right people. So whatever we do is right, and it's it's needed, and it adapts as we go along.
Yeah, most definitely. Time's drawing us to a close. I don't want to add to your workload, but, how do you see the future going?
We'd love to do more. As I said, we'd love to have more memory cafes. We'd absolutely love to expand them and have pop-up cafes elsewhere. You know, at the moment, we sort of cater mainly to Wolverhampton, but we'd like to create provision in surrounding areas like Dudley and Warsaw. We've obviously helped Darlaston with their cafe. I think the tour absolutely needs to expand. We'd love to do that constantly and not, you know, have a limitation to the amount of venues that we could visit. I mean, the sky's the limit. I could keep going all day, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're doing a great job. Please pass on our best wishes to everybody at the Grand for what you're doing and setting up a model which, you know, I hope a lot more people will follow.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. And I'm always open to chat to people if they're starting to create a cafe and they want to have a chat or come and attend ours and have a look what it looks like. We're always open to that because we know it's important to... Like the more that's out there, the better. And I'm happy to help with that.
That's brilliant. Remy, thank you so much for taking the time to be our guest here on The D Word.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing.
Thanks to Remy. And if you want to find out more about the great job that her and her team are doing at the Grand, then it's all on the website at www.thegrandtheatre.co.uk. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for another D Word podcast.